Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12, please. Psalm 90 and verse 12. It's good to see y'all this morning. I see you survived Christmas, and so now we get through New Year's, so it's good to see you today. Thinking about today's scripture, we're reminded from the scripture today that God is the one who is in control of time. The reason God is in control of time is because God is the one who created time. In the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis 1:1, the Bible teaches us in the beginning God. And so God is the controller of time. God is the keeper of time. And one day God will stop time. And so He is the one who's in control. As we think about this new year, this scripture is a starting point of what I want to talk about today in Psalm 90 and verse 12. The scripture says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." For those of you who are into UT football, let me give you the NIV translation of that verse. And this is how the NIV reads this verse. Here's what it says. Teach us to number our days, all right? That's exactly what it says. If you've got an NIV, you can look it up. So I like that interpretation of that verse. But the Bible says we are to number our days. As we think about time, though, we think about life and the beginning of a new year, you know, it brings with it a lot of enthusiasm. It brings with it a lot of excitement because we have a new beginning here. We have a new year. And who knows what this new year holds? Only God does. And we know that He controls it. You know, one of the things about spiritual maturity and emotional maturity and physical maturity in your life is when you come to realize that a lot of things that happen in life are really out of our control. They really are. But we know that the Bible teaches us that God is the one who is in control of our life. So 1 Chronicles 29:11 teaches us that God is the one who is in control. When you think about time, you know, you think about clocks and you think about calendars and schedules and all that. But really, time is more than that. It's more than the keeping of time on a clock. It's more than keeping of schedules on a calendar. Life really is time. If there's any way that you could define what life is, you know, really it comes down to time. What we do with the time that God gives us. You know, in a basketball game or any sporting event, you can call time out. But in life, you can't do that. There's no time out in life because the clock, you know, is ticking and the days go by, the weeks go by, and we know that. This year, we're going to have 52 weeks in the year. And when I think about 52 weeks in the year, here's what I think about. I've got 52 sermons I get to preach. So that's one way that I look at it, you know, as a preacher. But anyway, we all have that amount of time that God has given us. So the psalmist says, you know, we need to learn to number our days. And the reason he says that is because life is short. It really is. Life is short. So the Bible says we're to number our days. So the number one thing that we can count on in the new year is this. God is in control. There's uncertainty about the future because we don't know the future. We don't know what this year may hold for us. There's a lot of uncertainty about that. And thinking about the new year, you know, that can bring fear. It can bring, you know, thoughts of worry to our life and anxiety. But we just keep coming back to this. The thing that gives us stability, the thing that gives us faith, the thing that gives us hope is to know this, that God is in control. In Job 14 and verse 5, listen to this verse. In Job 14:5, "Since the days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass." Now, in Job 14, if you look back at verse 1 of Job 14, Job says, "Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." And so, what he's referring to here is mankind. He's referring to you, he's referring to me. And so what he says in verse 5 is that our days are determined. The number of your months, the number of my months, yeah, they're determined. God has appointed limits that we cannot pass. So again, what that's saying is God is the one who's in control. Now, in thinking about that passage, there are some things that I want to say before I get into the main body of what I want to talk about. But if you think about that passage there, what Job embraced was this. Job embraced the fact that God is in control of time, that he's in control of life and the events of life. Does that mean that everything that happens in life is God's will? No, it's not. When a drunk driver kills an innocent person, that is never God's will. That is not God's will. So everything that happens is not God's will. We're not saying that. That's why we pray in the model prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," because we know that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where God's will is not always done. But in God being in control, here's some thoughts that I have. Since God is in control, then what that means is that our plans will have limits. That's what Job is talking about here, that he places a limit, that there's a time that we cannot, you know, go beyond. There's limits to our plans. Now, the Bible teaches us in the book of Proverbs that we're to plan our lives and plan it with God guiding us. In other words, we look to God to help us plan for the new year. But it also says this in Proverbs, that, you know, we have all these ideas and we have all these plans, but God has the final word on our plans. So, in understanding of this passage, what I come away with is we're to plan, we're to schedule, we're to think about the new year, we're to be prepared for, you know, the new year and all that. But it also reminds me that our plans do have a limit. And those plans need to be within God's will for our life. Another thought I had on that passage was that because God is in control, that our problems have a purpose. Romans 8:28, "For all things work together for good, to those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose." Do we always understand the purpose of God? No. But we know that God has a purpose, and the problems that we will face in the new year. Will problems come? Yes. That's exactly what Job said. He said, anybody that's born, you know, there's just a few days, and then, you know, you experience problems and difficulty in life. So we know that and we understand that. So here's the thought that I had about that, though. If we're going to experience problems in life and difficulty and circumstances in life, then what should our response be to that? One of the things that I have learned in life, and one of the things that God has helped me with, is this. That I've got to look beyond the pain to the purpose. We all have hurt. We all experience loss. We all have difficulty. We all have pain in life. So one of the things, though, that helps us is this. Is to look beyond the pain. That's not to say the pain's not there. It's not to say the hurt is not there, but it's to say that we're to look beyond that. One of the points that I made in our Sunday school lesson this morning, we were talking about Jairus, and we were talking about his daughter dying. And in that story that we talked about in Sunday school this morning, of course, Jesus came to the house, and he raised this 12-year-old girl from the dead. But one of those verses that we talked about really spoke a lot to me, because here's what it said. It said that Jesus took the mother and took the father, Jairus, and they entered into the room where the little girl was lying. Now, I don't know what that says to you, but here's what it says to me. that in our pain and our difficulty and our hurt, God will be there. His love will be there, His compassion will be there, and His grace will be there. So we learn in life, because God is in control, then, you know, our problems do have a purpose. And then because God is in control, our prayers do have an impact. I believe in prayer. You believe in prayer. Prayer is important to us. You know, prayer is just more than just, you know, some mystical thing that we do. Prayer is conversation we have with God. Prayer is not only us talking to God, but prayer is God talking to us. And so the Bible teaches us that through our prayer, that we build our relationship with God, that through prayer that we understand His will, that through prayer we find strength we need for the faith that we have in Him. And so our prayers do matter. And so what I am saying, what I'm encouraging this morning, is that every day we pray. Every day we talk to God. And that's how we make it through this new year. So those are some thoughts about that passage in Job. Now I want to talk about three things this morning, and then we'll bring this to a conclusion, okay? First of all, we need to appreciate each day as a gift from God. Psalm 118:24, this is the day which the Lord has made. The day that we have through this year is today. Yesterday is just a memory. Tomorrow is a possibility. But what we have is the present. And so the emphasis from the Word of God is today. This is the day, today, that the Lord has made. Let us be rejoice and be glad in it. So, you know, to get through the year, I really don't focus on the past. I don't focus on what might be in the future. But the focus here is the focus in the present. What can I do for God today? What does God want to do in my life today? What can I do for others today? And so I think that the best advice that I could give you today is for this new year to live every day for God, to love Him every day, and to serve Him every day. Today, put the emphasis on the day that God has given us. And what we do there is we do what the Scripture says. We number our days. That's what it means to number your days. To open your heart to a heart of wisdom. To know, you know, that this is the day He's given us. And we're going to love Him. We're going to serve Him this day. In John 17:4, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work you have given me to do. How many years did Jesus have on this earth? Well, He had 33 and a half years that He lived on this earth. This scripture here, Jesus is talking about going to the cross. He's talking about dying on the cross in just a few days. And so here's what He said to the Father. I have finished the work that you've given me to do. And so when we think about this verse and we think about the future, we think about today, we think about the past, then when we think about all that, we think about finishing the work that God has given us to do. I don't know how much time I have left. You don't know how much time you have left. But here's what I know. That for the time that we have left, let's dedicate every day to Him. Let's be more committed to Him. And what time we have left, let's use that time to glorify Him and to fulfill His purpose in our life. So we appreciate every day as a gift from God. And then secondly, we need to dedicate each day to the glory of God. When I think about that, I think about the verse in Ephesians 5:15-16. And in dedicating each day to the glory of God, the Scripture tells us in In Ephesians 5:15-16, therefore be careful how you walk. In other words, make the most of your time. Wherever your walk is, make the most of that walk with God. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So every day, we dedicate to the glory of God, making the most of the time that He's given us. And so for this day, let's make the most of this day. If God grants us tomorrow, let's make the most of that day. So making the most of the life, of the time that God has given us to live. So that's how we should do it. And then the third truth here is this. We need to celebrate each day in the goodness of God. Psalm 118:24, Scripture says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." The day that we have is today. The time that we have is today. The emphasis in the Bible is this. In Proverbs, "Boast not of tomorrow, for you know not what another day may bring forth." The Bible says that today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. So the emphasis in the Bible over and over again is today. So we appreciate the goodness of God for this day that He has given us. Now, the only thing that you can do today is to make sure, now this is spiritually speaking, make sure that you've established that spiritual base in your life. Make sure that you have that relationship with Jesus Christ. So how do you establish that spiritual base? Well, let's take the word base. And what I want to do is use an acrostic here for this, the word base. F and B, here's what you need to write down. Believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Believe the gospel. Believe that Jesus came and did what He said He would do, and that He did. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's the first step in establishing a spiritual base for our life. By the letter A, write this out. Accept. Accept God's free forgiveness of our sin. So we come to Him, we ask Him for forgiveness, and He forgives us of our sin. What I'm talking about is establishing a spiritual base for your life in this new year. Then by the word, the letter S, here's what you need to understand. Switch to God's plan for your life. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:1-2, that we are not to be conformed to the image of this world. We are not to let the world mold us into the world's idea of what life should be, how we should live, and all that. So what that says, though, is this, that what we're to do is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? I switch to His plan for my life. I live His plan. I live His will. Now, does that mean that we can't have plans and we can't have goals and we can't have desires? No. We need to have goals. We need to have desires. We need to have plans. We need to prepare. We need to do all that. We have freedom to choose. God has given us freedom of choice. We have freedom. Every day we have in 2018, we have the freedom to choose how we're going to live each day that God gives us to live. We have that freedom to choose that. However, with that freedom and with the choices we make, we cannot determine the consequences of bad choices. And so that's why we need to understand, for each day, were to be molded into His image. Make those decisions He would have us make. Make those choices that He would have us make. So that's what it means to switch to His plan. And then to express our desire for Christ to be the Lord of our life. And so whatever time we have left, we commit that to Him. Zig Ziglar gives us this quote, and let me give it to you. If you will do what you ought to do, when you ought to do it, then you can do what you want to do when you want to do it. And that's a good quote to remember. We have 86,400 seconds of time in the new year, 1,440 minutes of time. We have 24 hours of time in a day, 52 weeks in the year. So what are we going to do with that time? You see, no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord today, what I'm asking you to do this morning is simply this, to realize that it's never too late to pursue a deeper walk with God in your life. And so for this new year, make that be a desire of your heart. Say, Lord, I want to go deeper with You this year. I want to love You more. I want to build my relationship with You. And so how do we do that? We do it through study of Scripture. Be willing to spend every day, you know, some part of the day in time and prayer, meditation with the Lord, to learn to trust Him, to learn to obey Him, to learn to pay attention to what God's doing in your life every day. God visits time. In the fullness of time, Jesus was born. In the Old Testament, God was on the scene. In the New Testament, God was on the scene. In today's world, in your life and my life, God is on the scene. So in this coming year, let's pay attention to what God's doing in our life. That's another way to think about it. And then I think also to make Jesus the top priority of your life in this new year. I want to close with something that I want to share with you, and I want you to be patient with me. This is coming from my heart, and I want to share it with you. And the reason I'm doing this is because, you know, I have goals and dreams and aspirations for the Lord's church here and for my own life. And, you know, when you think about the new year, you think about, well, you know, how can I pray to God? What can I pray to God about for this new year? One of my favorite people to read is A.W. Tozer. He was born in 1897. He died in 1963. A.W. Tozer, from 1928, I think, to 1959, he pastored the South Side Alliance Church in Chicago, Illinois. This is called a preacher's prayer. Now, bear with me. You can find application here because there's some things here that you can pray for. This is a prayer that I have. I have it in my office. This is prayer that I read every day. So just bear with me. This is A.W. Tozer's prayer, one of the great Christian writers of, you know, the last century. If you're looking for a devotional book to read and a book that really challenges you, I would encourage you to pick up a copy of The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. That book has helped me more than any other book I've ever read. But here's his prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to Thee for spiritual preparation. Lay Thy hand upon me, anoint me with the oil of the New Testament prophet. Forbid that I should come a religious scribe and thus lose my prophetic calling. Save me from the curse that lies dark across the modern clergy, the curse of compromise, of imitation, of professionalism. Save me from the error of judging a church by its size, its popularity, or the amount of its yearly offering. Help me to remember that I'm a prophet, not a promoter, not a religious manager, but a prophet. Let me never become a slave to the crowds. Heal my soul of carnal ambition and deliver me from the itch of publicity. Save me from the bondage of things. Let me not waste my days putting around the house. Lay thy terror upon me, O God, and drive me to the place of prayer where I may wrestle with the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness of this world. Deliver me from overeating, and I can pray that, and late sleeping. Teach me self-discipline that I may be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I accept hard work and small rewards in this life. I ask for no easy place. I shall try to be blind to the little ways that could make my life easier. If others seek the smoother path, I shall try to take the hard way without judging them too harshly. I shall expect opposition and try to take it quietly when it comes. Or as if sometimes it falleth out to thy servants, that I should have grateful gifts pressed upon me by the kindly people. Stand by me then and save me from the blight that often follows. Teach me to use whatever I receive in such a manner that I will not injure my soul or diminish my spiritual power. He goes on to say, and now, O Lord of heaven and earth, I consecrate my remaining days to Thee. Let them be many or few as Thou wilt. Now that prayer means a lot to me. And the reason I shared that prayer with you is because that is really the desire of my heart. Maybe you have found something in that prayer that spoke to your heart. Maybe something you need to pray about this year. But I think we all desire a closer walk with Him. I think we all want to pursue, you know, a deeper relationship with Him. And through prayer is one of the ways that we do this. But I really like what A.W. Tozer, the point he made there, and here's what it was. He didn't know how many years he had left. He died when he was 66 years old. This prayer was prayed just a few short years before he died. But he said, Lord, whatever time I have remaining, I want to live for You, and I want to live for Your glory. And that should be all of our prayer. This morning we're going to give a gospel invitation. If you've never established that spiritual base in your life, come to Christ today. Begin the new year with Him. Wherever you are in your walk with the Lord as a believer, determine this year is going to be your best year with Him. Determine this year, you know, that you'll grow deeper in your commitment with Him to love Him every day. And to serve Him every day should be our commitment. Let's stand for our time of prayer. Father, I just thank You for this day. I thank You for the truth of Your Word. And Lord, we all know that time is more than just keeping seconds and hours. And it's more than just days and weeks on a calendar. We understand that. We understand that time really is life. We thank You for the life that You've given to us. And Father, every day, we need to live life in Your grace and in Your glory. We thank You for the gift of this day. This is the day that You've made. We do rejoice. And we are glad in it. But we're also reminded of this. this is the day that we're guaranteed of. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. The past is already past. What we have is the present. For those who've never come to Christ, for those who've never trusted Him as Savior, this is the day that You've given them to do that. This is the day of salvation. This is the day that they can call upon You and establish that spiritual base in their life. Father, as believers today, I just pray that wherever we are in our walk with You, that we would make a commitment today, that each day that we're going to live for Your grace and we're going to live for Your glory. I pray that we would determine that this year that we will grow deeper in our relationship with You. Help us, O Lord, to love You and to serve You every day. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.